This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Jane Garrett. Now, Jane, you moved from Brunswick in the lower house to Eastern Victoria in the upper house. So change of leather colour too, isn't
it? Oh, look, it is. I said to someone, the upper house is a bit, for those of us who are old enough to remember I Dream of Jeannie, the upper house is like the, you know, the bottle she was in when Master would put her back in there when she'd been bad. I mean, really, those were very dark days for the women's movement, weren't they? But anyway.
They were for Jeannie.
Yes, they were for Jeannie. I think Master was having several bottles of champagne before the first take, by all accounts, Larry Wigman. But, it is not unlike that. It is a small, it's almost a rounded experience. It's a lot more intimate and it's a lot more kind of fluid because there's so many cross benches. And
yeah, so how many cross benches now? Is it nine?
Yes.
Nine.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, it was quite the shift in the, so the Labor Party, who we obviously won the election well.
You actually picked up seats in the upper house.
We picked up seats in the upper house. So last term it was a lot more difficult to get legislation through than this term, although we've only just started, but there is more Labor people, there is a lot less Liberal people, and there's one National now, and interestingly there's only one Green left from six. So the dynamic's different. There's some Hinch Justice people, there's some people,
Fiona Patton's
back and she's terrific. The Lib Democrats, who are quite, got some quite strident views about
they're libertarians.
The libertarians, yep, about the state being off our business.
Is that the and cross between a liberal and a vegetarian?
I don't think they'd describe themselves as such, but maybe when I see them again, I will put that to them. And we've got a man who came through on the transport issues on taxis, so he's a very passionate advocate for his group. It's really interesting, people's different walks of life and what brought them to a place and what drives them. So I've found it really interesting and really good.
I mean, I'm not an advocate of how preference farming works and that people get elected to the upper house and to the Senate and other upper houses around Australia on very, very small primary votes. Now, I know that's the way our democracy works. Paul Strangio has spoken about this before. But then again, at the end of the day, that's the system. They're elected. They're elected for a term. And, you know, they, interestingly, I think my observation, not just of this parliament, but the previous parliament, is once they're there, they might, and I'm speaking generally here, they might be ratbags before they're elected. But once they're actually in there, they actually do take it seriously. And they do engage and they do, you know, it's because it's a, you know, vetting the legislation is quite a serious job. And in my experience, they take it pretty seriously, don't they?
Yeah, I think the key is for crossbenchers, in my humble opinion, is that if they're there for the right reasons and they don't make it about themselves, then they have a wonderful contribution to make. I think it's when people think that they're bigger than themselves, like the Xenophons of the world, who then, while he did some good work initially, I think it became all about, this is my observation, became a bit more all about Nick rather than the issue. And from what I'm observing with the crossbenchers, I think they respect that there has been a significant mandate given to this government and that they will be, in the main, respectful of that mandate, but where they feel strongly, they will. So my read of it is that it's a pretty good group of people. Mm. Now, I could come back here in 6 months, you know, be tearing my hair out in front of you and going, oh, my God, what was I thinking? But that's my read in the first – it's sat for, you know, 3 weeks, so – But that's my read. I think people are going to be, and that's the best. That's when democracy is at its best.
It's best.
Yeah, but you get a someone like a Pauline Hanson, and you know, and I think when those stunts and everything, they just you have to do a bigger one next time to get the hit of people talking about you, and that's when it's not about the issues or about what's good for the state. Or the country. And we're all obligated to behave like that, and there's certainly plenty of things that the party politics politicians do well and do badly, but in the main, if you're guided by that principle, then, you know, in the grey areas and the difficult areas as is politics, I think you can come to good outcomes that are driven by what's the best for the people.
What's the biggest difference, apart from the crossbenches, between the lower house and the upper house? I mean, there are different procedures.
Look, obviously there's a whole different role, but in terms of like the day-to-day practicality, it's just because there's this crossbench. Like in the lower house, you sit in your seat, everything is very regimented, these things happen at this time, and you know, when the bells ring, there's the vote, and you go to your seat and, you know, or you work out, the whips do the count, and it's only if someone's missed those bells. But because this is, like, there's votes, you're 1 minute you're on one side of the chamber, then you're on the other, that, you know, you get, it's quite sort of fluid. You're sitting next to the leader of the Liberals, then you turn around one vote and you're sitting next to Fiona Patten, and that's takes a bit of getting used to, or someone will move a motion and suddenly the kind of the process is derailed and you're doing these things. But I'm actually liking that, because you do get to talk to people, and it's a bit more cross collaborative than that really adversarial. Everyone's locked in the lower house.
If I can put you on the spot here on a particular. So Queensland doesn't have an upper house.
Yep.
So if you win the majority of the seats, or you form a government with the majority of the seats, you legislate. It's not subject to review by an upper house and by, you know, further horse trading. What's your thoughts?
Look, I lived in Queensland for 3 years back in the early O's. Is that what we call them? What do the funky young people call them? In the noughties, the early noughties. I think the problem, and I think we saw that when Howard got full control of the Senate and did work choices. I actually think, like, democracy is a bit messy, and that's what life is, and I often say, go to the kindergarten committee or the managing committee of Joy, or, you know, the branch committee of management of a union. We can hear all about that from Luba, you know, or the local footy club. Like, people have different ideas. People have different thoughts, and sometimes there's push-pull. And I think too much power. We saw it with Campbell Newman when he got that huge majority. Yes. And Queensland tends to deliver these, like, you know, when you know, they had those the days when Beattie was there and the Libs and the Nats were meeting in a phone box, and then suddenly Campbell Newman's got, you know, 80% of the seat. Then it's back. I think it too much power in one thing doesn't lead to necessarily really good outcomes. You do need checks and balances, because we're human beings and we're prone to, you know, my way or the highway. And that's why we have the balance of powers, why we have the courts, why we have the parliament. So while it can be a bit messy and be a bit annoying for people, I think in the main it's probably, she says, an upper house. We can't possibly abolish the upper house, how dare you, sir? But I think in the main it probably saves some people from themselves.
Yeah. Mm. So an upper house that's representative and well run, that does have a good committee system and does actually review the legislation, has a place.
I really think so, yeah. Now, I think, again, it depends who gets up there, and there might be times, as we've seen in the Australian Senate, where, you think, well, you know, you've got 0.3% of the vote and you're holding everybody to ransom. But the government of the day's negotiators have to get good, have to get better at it. And you'd have to say, up in Canberra, you just do not know what has happened there. I mean, one of the interesting stories I read this morning was the ongoing story, but the latest is that big push to kick out Abbott in his own seat.
Yeah.
And the whole coalition of the willing, so to speak, the coalition of the we've had enough of you, It's going to be a, obviously it looks like it's going to be a defeat for the coalition, and we'll see. But, you know, not Labor should take nothing for granted. But within that, or within whatever happens, these pockets of change. And he is such a symbol of old economics, old climate, old conservatism.
Depends when you ask him, though. He's a very interesting group of people, Tony. And... you know, will he hold the seat? I don't know. People forget John Howard lost his seat.
Yep.
Right. You know, losing a seat is not hard. It's not hard.
Nope.
I think, you know, the reality is, you know, Tony's going to fight a very hard battle in that seat. But, you know, I've seen a couple of examples over the last couple of months. One of them was where, I think it was at Bondi.
Mm-hmm.
And a little video of him saying, oh, you know, the life-saving club, you know, it's disgraceful there's not enough public toilets here. Mate,
you've been the local member for a quarter of a century.
Yeah. You've been Prime Minister.
Yeah.
You've been a minister. You don't have any influence to get a couple of dunnies put in.
Absolutely.
You know, where was the whiteboard? You know, you could have written, you know, a couple of hundred grand
dunnies
up on the whiteboard.
Dunnies for Bondi.
Dunnies for Bondi, you know. And
where's Amanda Changey's spudgy smugglers?
Yeah, and, you know, I just, you know, sometimes wonder, you know, we saw it in Wentworth, and that was a really strong campaign by Karen Phelps, but at the end of the day, you know, that seat is at risk because there's a couple of issues in play where... dare I say it, the Emperor has no clothes.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have a dunny to change them in either. So, you know, I think it's going to be...
Oh, that's the joke of the morning so far, sir.
I think he's gonna face a tough fight. I haven't actually looked at... and I'm not a gambler, but I do bet on elections.
Do you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I got some really good odds on Federal Labor quite a while ago.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. But then what I do is also, if I bet on the other side as well, if I win, I actually donate the winnings to that political party.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you win really big this time.
Yes. But if I was a betting man, I said I haven't looked at what the odds are for Tony Abbott, I reckon they'd be pretty short odds to hold Warringah.
Mm.
I know a lot of people live in the seat and, you know, they're saying, you know, there's some strong local campaigning going on, but you know there's a lot of people that don't watch the news, that don't read,
yeah,
you know,
that just roll up and vote,
yeah, and you know yourself, you know, seats that, you know, Tony's got a fair margin, or he did. That margin can disappear.
Well, you'd have to say the people who must be doing most of the campaigning behind the scenes are his own party.
Yes.
And you just want him gone, wouldn't you, after everything? Oh. I mean, you can't renew, you can't reset. He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest difference between our Rudd Gillard years. They're both gone.
Mm.
He has just stayed there.
Yeah.
Like a black cloud.
Julia, to her credit, has stayed quiet.
Yeah.
Kevin every now and then.
Rudd less so, but, you know, he's in New York, so he's at least he's not sitting on the green leather looking down over.
No,
it's been the most crippling thing for that.
He's a bit like the turd that won't flush. Kevin Rudd.
He's still talking while it... Very good.
So, Joan, you get elected for...
There's a good message here that we've got from one of our listeners. Under every stone lurks a politician. There you go.
Yes. you're talking about your colleagues in the upper house there?
No. Yeah. We're out in the open.
Yeah, that's right.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.